Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your love and your mercy. Thankful for being such a kind, compassionate, patient God with us. Father, we have this high privilege that we're your children because of your grace. And you have seen fit to provide us everything that we need to serve you effectively, to honor your Son effectively on this planet. We have gathered to look at your instructions, your word, by which you accomplish your glory. So, Father, as we've gathered to study a portion of it, we pray that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. Exodus chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 10 to 17, and I'm going to read from verse 12. Verse 12 reads, "Now go, I will help you speak, and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "O Lord, please send someone else to do it." Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother, Aaron and the Levite? I know that he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will have both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it." Now the first major point of the message of this passage that we are considering is that you do not have any excuse not to carry out God's instruction to you. This is our assertion that expanding of this first major point requires consideration of two sub-points. The first sub-point is that you may, like Moses, have in your mind a justifiable excuse not to carry out God's instruction to you. The second sub-point is that your excuse for not carrying out God's instruction does not stand before him because of his declaration and encouragement to you as revealed in the scripture. Now so far, we have considered the Lord's declaration in verse 11. So we focus now on the encouragement from the Lord as stated in verse 12. Now the first encouragement of the Lord to you, as it was to Moses, is that you should proceed to carry out whatever his instruction to you is. Now this, of course, is because he has equipped you to do so. And we say this because the Hebrew line of verse 12 begins with a Hebrew word that quite often is translated "and" in our English versions. However, the Hebrew word has other usages. For example, it may be used as a marker of emphasis, in which case it may be translated "indeed" or "even." In our passage, it is used in the sense of a marker of result, so that it should really be translated "therefore" or "so" to begin verse 12. Now the implication is that as a result of the Lord's declaration to Moses of having equipped him with communication organs functioning normally, that he should then carry out his assignment. In application, you and I have been equipped with everything we need to carry out God's instruction so that we should carry out whatever the Lord instructs us to do. In case of Moses, the Lord commands him to proceed with his commission as indicated in Exodus 4 verse 12. The first two words, "Now go." Now go. Now the word "go" is translated from a Hebrew word that literally may mean to go, to proceed, to walk, or to move, as it is used to describe Abraham proceeding to take go ahead and go to the place where God instructed him to offer his son Isaac, as the word is used in Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. Genesis 22, verse 6 reads, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried a fire and a knife as the two of them went on together. Now, this word here really is what is translated went on. Now, the word also may have the meaning of to depart or to go away, as it is used to describe the initial action of Pharaoh in not letting Israel to depart from Egypt, as we have seen in Exodus chapter 3, verse 19. Exodus chapter 3, verse 19 reads, But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. Here, go has a sense of to depart or to go away. Now, figuratively, though, the Hebrew word may mean to leave, in the sense of how one behaves or conducts himself, as in the prohibition to the Israelites not to conduct themselves like the pagan nations that they were going to displace, as instructed in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 23. Now, this passage that I read is an important passage that I believe for the most part, we modern Christians pay little attention to things like this. But it is hopefully one of these days we'll put a real emphasis on it. Anyway, it reads, you must not live according to the customs of the nation I'm going to drive out before you, because they did all these things. I abhorred them. In other words, Israel constantly, God warned them, don't follow anything that you see among pagans. But we modern Christians haven't got that message. In our passage of Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, the word is used in the sense of to proceed, so that the Lord commanded Moses to proceed to carry out the task he has assigned him, following his declaration of having equipped Moses to communicate his message to Israel and eventually to Pharaoh. Now, by way of application, the Lord tells you to proceed to carry out his instructions to you because you have the Holy Spirit. You can go in confidence of the power of the Holy Spirit as you witness to others about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can also have confidence that the Holy Spirit will enable you to conduct your life in a manner that is in keeping with God's will. Now, it is our responsibility, it is a charge that's given to us to be witnesses for Him. And as I keep reminding us, you should be asking yourself, have you done that? Or do you do that? Do you really tell others about your Savior? Do you really witness, or you just learn and then you go your way? That, if you don't do, you are failing in the responsibility. Anyway, we are saying that instructions of the Word of God regarding our conduct are the ones we have been equipped to carry out. We are not left without power to carry out the instructions recorded in the scripture. No, the Holy Spirit is available to enable us to carry them out. We simply need to be under His control, and the power that He provides will overflow to enable us carry out the things that appear impossible. For example, left on your own, you could not love those who hate you. But when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do so, since love is a facet of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, it is not only that the Holy Spirit is available to help you, but the Lord has promised to be with you all the way in carrying out the various responsibilities that you have as a believer, as He promised Moses. Now, the Lord made two promises to Moses that are certainly applicable to everyone that faces the task of doing God's instruction. Now, the first promise of the Lord to Moses is to help him overcome his perceived difficulty in communication. It is this promise that is given in the next sentence of Exodus chapter 4, verse 12, when he says, "I will help you speak. I will help you speak." Now, this is an emphatic promise from the Lord, although that may not be evident from the English translation. Now, to prove that this promise is an emphatic one in the Hebrew, let me give you the literal translation from the Hebrew. This is the way it reads, and that may not be a good English. This is the way it reads, "And I will be with your mouth." That's how it reads. "And I will be with your mouth." So you can see from the Hebrew, I, that takes you some emphasis. Now, the literal translation then indicates that the Lord used an independent pronoun in the Hebrew translated I in the English, but that's really unnecessary because the Hebrew used a word that indicates the Lord is the one who spoke to Moses in the first person with the promise that is made to Moses. See, the Semitic language, just like the Hebrew and some of the other languages that do what is called declension, it is a matter of prefix or suffix to a word. Then you can say whether I or he or she. So that's why this word here only has a prefix in front of it that means I. But before that, there's another I, which is redundant in English. But that is a way the Lord is saying, you can count on it. I am making you promise. So, the same thing to all of us, that we can count on His promise that the Lord has made here. Now, the literal expression, I will be, because He says, I will be with your mouth. So, the expression, I will be, is translated from a Hebrew word with several meanings. The word may mean to occur, to take place, to come about, as it is used to describe man's limited knowledge about the future in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22. It reads, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22 reads, "So I saw there is nothing better for a man than to enjoy his work, because that is his lot. For who can bring him to see what will happen after him. That's a Hebrew word here. It's translated happen. The same word translated will be. Now, the word may also mean to come into being. Hence means to become, to arise, to appear, or to come. As it is used in connection with the Lord's promise to Noah regarding the appearance of rainbow in the sky to guarantee that the Lord is no longer going to destroy the world with flood, as in Genesis chapter 9, verse 16. Genesis chapter 9, verse 16. It reads, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. In other words, we give a scientific explanation of how the rainbow appears and all that. It doesn't matter. Because this is what God gave to Noah. He said, whenever you see that, and your descendants, when they see it, they should know, I'm not going to destroy this world again with water. Now, the word also may mean to be with several possible nuances. So it could mean to exist. To be in existence, as the word is used to introduce Job as one who existed in the land of Uz, although the NIV used the word live instead of the word be in translating a Hebrew word in Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job chapter 1, verse 1 reads, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. Actually, the Hebrew simply says, in the land of Uz, be a man whose name was Job. Now this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Now the word also may mean to abide, to remain, to continue. It is in this sense that it is used to describe the temporary exile of Jeroboam into Egypt in the time of Solomon, according to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 40. First Kings chapter 11, verse 40. It reads, Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but Jeroboam fled to Egypt to Shishak, the king, and stayed there until Solomon's death. That word stayed is the same Hebrew word that we're looking at that could have various meanings. When a word is used with a Hebrew preposition so that it translates be with someone and God is a subject, then the word carries the idea of protection or aid to the one concerned. Thus, when Jacob prayed for God to be with him, he meant that the Lord should protect him and meet his needs. When he made that request, as recorded in Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 21. Genesis chapter 28, verses 20 through 21. He reads, "Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God." Now, all he is asking is for protection. Now, it is in the same sense that the word is used regarding the Lord being with Joseph. Still in Genesis, look at chapter 39, verse 2. Genesis 39, verse 2. It reads, "The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master." Now, to say that the Lord was with Joseph is to say that the Lord helped, guided, and protected Joseph. So our concern, of course, is to determine how our Hebrew word then is used in the passage that we're considering. Now, because our Hebrew word is used with the preposition with, the Hebrew preposition that translates into with in the English, in the Exodus 4 verse 12, the sense of the word then in our passage is to help. To help. That's different from awubi, to help. Or to guide. That's the way, of course, the NIV, they pick that meaning. And that's the meaning you have in the NIV, to help. So we are certain that the Hebrew word translated literally, "I will be," has the sense of helping, guiding, and protecting. But before we continue with the consideration of the Lord's promise to Moses, we should know, though, the importance of the use of that promise, "I will be." That's an important promise. Indeed, there is probably no greater assurance for a believer today, if you think about it, that to hear, for a human being to hear what God says here, "I will be with you." So, I'm saying to you, it's really, there's no, in my judgment, there's probably no greater assurance that a human being could hear from the Lord than for the Lord to promise the person to be with him or with her. I don't see any promise greater than that. Thus, when Joshua took over the mantle of leadership over Israel, the Lord assured him of his guidance, protection, as we read in Joshua 1, verse 5. In other words, what I'm arguing, why I say it's greatest is, if the Lord is with you, what else is left? Nothing else. Everything is covered. So that's why I believe is, I don't think anything is greater than you hearing that in terms of his day-to-day dealing with you. Here we read it. "No one," Joshua 1 verse 5, "no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." As I promised, "I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you." Now Joshua became a successful leader of Israel because the Lord fulfilled that promise of being with him. Now Gideon, while facing the Midianites in battle, received this promise of assurance of the Lord's help and protection in Judges chapter 6, verse 16. Judges chapter 6, verse 16. It reads, "The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Look at what it says, "I will be with you." As the military victory Gideon scored over the Midianites was certainly because the Lord was with him indeed, considering that it was with a small number of soldiers, specifically 300 men, that he defeated the entire army of the Midianites. Hence, it should be of great assurance to the believer under any circumstance to realize that the Lord has promised to be with you. That should be a great comfort to you, no matter what you are and what you're doing. There's no promise that you can cling on to, regardless of what the situation is, than this promise, "I will be with you." You should be confident of the Lord's guidance and protection, because to be with you is what he has promised, as per the promise of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. Isaiah Isaiah 43, verse 2. It reads, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you." It's not just literal water. Whatever you are facing, whatever your situations are that are trying to overtake you, that's part of your river. That's part of your water. And he said, "I will be with you." When you walk through the fire, not necessarily literal fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. In other words, God is assuring you that whatever it's that it is surrounding you will not destroy you. They may shake you up, but it won't overwhelm you. It won't destroy you. That's his promise. That's what he's giving you. Why? Because he said, "I will be with you." That's if you're the believer. Now the Church of Christ can be confident of the success of his mission, because the Lord of the Church promised to be with her always, as stated in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. He reads, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's what the Lord promised the church. That is why, in spite of many failures of the local churches, the church is still thriving. Because of this promise, "I will be with you." The Lord of the church promised that. So anyway, it is our assertion then that the promise that begins with the literal expression in verse 12 of chapter 4 of Exodus, I will be, is one that in our passage of Exodus 4 verse 12 has a sense of to help, to guide. That's what he promised. The help or the guide of the Lord promise is directed literally here to the mouth of Moses. Since the Hebrew line that we're considering literally reads, I will be with your mouth. And that's how he reads in the Hebrew. I will be with your mouth. Now, what is it though that the Lord promised in this literal translation when he said, I will be with your mouth? What is he telling him? Now, certainly, the promise is not to be understood literally, although the word mouth is translated from a Hebrew word that literally means, refers to mouth, of humans as an organ of eating and drinking. Nevertheless, the Hebrew word may refer to the speaking function of the mouth that gives information, exhortation, or commands. Hence, the Hebrew word used, although it's a Hebrew word that translates literally means pay, is just the way it is. But that word means mouth, but it can also mean communication, speech, as the word is used in Genesis chapter 41, verse 40. Genesis chapter 41, verse 40. It reads, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit you to your orders. Only with respect to the throne, I will be greater than you. See that phrase, to your orders. This is where it is from the Hebrew. To your mouth. That's what he said. To your mouth. Which clearly refers to any communication that comes out of Joseph's mouth. So understanding that the Hebrew word that literally means mouth is used in Exodus 4 verse 12 with the meaning of communication or speech, then the promise of the Lord to Moses was that he would help and guide his communication or help guide his speech when he returned to Egypt. Now, as we have indicated previously, this promise does not mean that Moses had any speech impediment, but only that the Lord will help him in the way he communicates the message the Lord wanted him to deliver to the Israelites, and eventually to Pharaoh. Now, to ensure that Moses understood that the Lord's promise concerned helping and guiding his communication or speech in Egypt, the Lord then proceeded to explain what the promise entails in the last Hebrew line of Exodus 4, verse 12, that is translated in the NIV as, and will teach you what to say. And will teach you what to say. Now, it may not appear that the Hebrew line is concerned with the explanation, because the last clause of the verse begins with the word and in the NIV and in many of our English versions that implies a second promise to Moses by the Lord. Now, while there's nothing wrong in terms of translation with such an understanding, since the Hebrew word that begins the last Hebrew line of Exodus 4 verse 12 may be translated and, but it is most likely that the Lord did not intend for Moses to understand the last declaration of verse 12 as an additional promise, following, I will be with you. In this case, I will help you. Now, we say this because the Hebrew word used has other usages. In our verse, there are other possible usages than the meaning and. The Hebrew word may be used as a matter of cause or reason for a prior statement, so that it means because or that is why. Now this meaning makes sense though in this context, in that the Lord could have meant to say to Moses that because of his promise to help and guide his communication, that is the reason he declared what followed. That is the last sentence of verse 12 of Exodus chapter 4. Now, another possible usage of the Hebrew word in question is as a marker of explanation with the meaning that is, or simply namely. Now, the implication of this usage is that what follows is an explanation of what it means that the Lord will help and guide the communication of Moses when he returned to Egypt. Now, any of these usages of our Hebrew word that begins the last clause of Exodus 4 verse 12 fits the context, so that it is difficult to be certain of how the last clause is to be related to the preceding promise of aiding Moses in his communication in Egypt, or in the literal, I will be with your mouth. I will be with your communication. Now, the fact that there's, you know, at least three possibilities, that notwithstanding, it is more likely that the Lord wanted to explain to Moses the way in which he will aid him in his communication of the message the Lord wanted him to deliver first to Israel and then to Pharaoh. Now this is because when Moses heard the promise that the Lord will enable him to communicate to the people of Egypt, he will have wondered in his mind how that would take place. In effect, he will be saying to himself something like this: how is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? Thus, to remove an equation that Moses will have with respect to the promise he received, the Lord will have explained to him how the promise will be fulfilled. So we are saying that the Hebrew word translated and in the NIV of this last clause of verse 12 of Exodus chapter 4 that you see in the NIV and in our English version should really be understood to mean this is how. Instead of just saying and, this it should be this is how. Because he said, I will be with your mouth. This is how I'm going to be with your mouth. So that's why I believe that's the best way. So that the Lord is simply saying to Moses that what follows next in the Hebrew line is the way he will aid Moses in his communication in Egypt. It's for this reason we believe that the last clause of Exodus chapter 4 verse 12 is intended to be an explanation of the promise to aid Moses in his communication while in Egypt. Now the way the Lord will aid Moses in his communication then is given in the expression of Exodus 4 verse 12, the last one, he said, "Will teach you what to say." Will teach you what to say. Now the word teach is translated from a Hebrew word that in the Hebrew form, what they call the hifil, that is used in our passage, it has a range of meanings. In that form, the word may mean to show, to point out, as the word is used when the Lord pointed out to Moses a plant that he used to make bitter water suitable for drinking for Israel in the desert in Exodus chapter 15 verse 25. Exodus chapter 15, verse 25. He reads, "Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them." Now here, the Hebrew word translated teach is here translated showed. Now one of the things that you realize many times is, when you read the Old Testament in particular, you can see God has shown us that he uses things that he's already created to do all kinds of healing. Now this is water. I mean, God could have just told Moses, just say a word to that water and it will be healed. In other words, a water that was almost undrinkable would turn out to be a drinkable one. He could have done that. He said, "No, you cut. Look at the wood. I want you to cut it, put it." Now I see sometimes people don't really think about some of these things. Man has been long on this planet. Now, do you ever think about how did those people who lived several thousands of years live? They were sick. How did they get healed? They didn't have pharmaceutical industries. So how do you think that happened? God in his grace, most people don't realize, had given some human beings the ability to look at a plant and say, "This is going to heal the body." And they did that for years and years. So it's nothing. Since you know that God is with us according to his goodness. So this kind of thing will remind you, he can heal with anything. But of course, we're all locked up. It has to be a processed drug or something like that. He can do without that. But of course, you know, he decides how and when he does that. Anyway, so here we do see the word translated show. He showed me a piece of wood that will do the healing or restoring or purifying the water so that the water becomes drinkable. Now the Hebrew word also may mean to direct, to instruct or to teach. Hence, the word is used for Bezalel and Oholiab, teaching to others the skill necessary for the construction of the tabernacle, as stated in Exodus chapter 35, verse 34. Exodus chapter 35, verse 34. He reads, "And he has given both him and Oholiab of Ahishamach of the tribe of Dan the ability to teach others." That's a skill God gave him. So he is able to teach others. Now it is used for instruction that God gives to humans. The Hebrew word is used that way. Thus, Manoah prayed for the Lord to teach him and his wife how to raise the son promised to them by the angel of the Lord in Judges chapter 13, verse 8. Judges chapter 13, verse 8. He reads, "Then Manoah prayed to the Lord, 'O Lord, I beg you, Let the man of God you sent us come again to teach us how to bring up the boy who is to be born. Here again, of course, the Hebrew word is translated teacher, right? Now the psalmist used it in his prayer to be instructed the word of the Lord. In Psalms chapter 86, verse 11. Psalm 86, verse 11. Psalms 86, verse 11. Now, I remind you part of the thing that by studying the way we do, you get exposed to a lot of promises and a lot of instruction from the Word of God by just one teaching. Or during one teaching, you see a lot of passages. Anyway, here it says, teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. So, here the psalmist asks for the Lord to teach him with his own, as we call it, his own resolve here that he will do what he's taught. Now, in our passage of Exodus 4, verse 12, then, the sense of the Hebrew word is to impart knowledge. To impart knowledge. Therefore, the explanation of the Lord as to how he would aid Moses in his communication concerns the impartation of the right kind of knowledge that will enable Moses to communicate using the appropriate words that the Lord will give him. He will impart the right knowledge, give him the right words to use to communicate what God wants him to communicate. Now that the Lord will give Moses the right words for communicating to the people in Egypt, it's conveyed in the last verbal phrase of Exodus 4 verse 12 that we're studying, where it says, what to say? What to say? Now the expression to say here is translated from a Hebrew word that pertains to communication. The Hebrew word may mean to speak. The word may also mean to promise, as it is used in Moses' farewell speech to Israel to encourage them to be faithful to the Lord, as we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 reads, hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised. See, that word promise is the same Hebrew word translated to say, where we are studying. Because, again, you see, constantly, and I think we all should pay close attention to that, the key to anything in our spiritual life is not just learning the word, but the actual key is obeying, doing what you hear. Now, you can have all notes, all knowledge, if you're not using it, if you're not doing it, it doesn't mean no good. So that's why I keep saying, keep reminding Israel, be careful to obey what you hear. That is what we also encourage. So the verbal phrase, promise you though, that we read here in Deuteronomy 6:3, Literally, simply say, spoke to you. Spoke to you. But he has a sense of promise. Now, the word also may mean to admonish or to advise. As that is the sense of the word, when it is used to describe the fact that Nabal does not listen to anyone. According to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17. For Samuel, chapter 25, verse 17. It is, now, think it over and see what you can do. This is a servant speaking to the master's wife, Abigail. Because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him. And what he really says, he's beyond advice. And I hope you're not one of those kind of people that, no matter what you advise them, they do the opposite. They don't think about advice, they know it all or whatever. But the person who doesn't have anyone that advises him or her is in a terrible situation, as the Bible says in Proverbs. If you don't have somebody who can advise you, you're in trouble. So, in our passage, though, of Exodus 4, verse 12, the word is used in the sense of what to communicate, so that it means to speak, to say. Thus, what the Lord would do to aid Moses in his communication to the people in Egypt is to put the right words in his mouth as he speaks. Now, be that as it may, though, the promise of the Lord to Moses is to aid him in his communication to the people in Egypt by giving him the right words to use. Now, this promise undermines then any excuse of Moses, so that he had no excuse not to carry out the commission the Lord had given him. Now, this promise is applicable to all believers. We have no excuse not to carry out God's commission to us, especially without obeying his weaknesses. Now, this is because, as with Moses, the Lord had also promised us that he will put the right words in our mouths by which to speak his truth to others. Some of you, now this is a question you have to answer yourself. There may be a person or two or three or four, I don't know, who've never witnessed anyone in their life as a believer. And because they're afraid, I don't know what to say. No. You open your mouth. You trust the Lord and he's going to put the word in your mouth or start to explain it to somebody else. Now, this promise, we can deduce, though, from what the Lord conveyed to his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. It is, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now, this promise of the Lord to the disciples concerns hostile treatment of the disciples, where they are not to be concerned about how to defend themselves before a hostile audience. However, the promise is indeed applicable to every situation that a believer has to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not to be afraid that we do not know how to witness or what to say, but to go in faith by claiming the promise given here that the Holy Spirit will put in our mouths the right words to use in communicating God's word to others. It is because the promise that we have here is applicable to all situations of witnessing for Christ. That makes Apostle Paul, his prayer to the Ephesians, that makes it attainable. I'm referring to Ephesians 6 verse 19. Now, again, as we're looking at this, I want to encourage you to know, if you have not been witnessing, I mean, when I say this, it has nothing to do with your age. It has to do with whether you're a believer. If you say you're a believer, then you are charged with witnessing to other people, telling them about Christ. You want to talk about this or that thing, but you don't want to talk about the most important thing, which is how a person gets right with God. Here it says, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. If the apostle did not believe that the Lord will put the right words in his mouth when he preached the gospel, he would not make this prayer request. Therefore, we should be confident that the promise of putting the right words or enabling us to communicate in the right words apply to every situation we face regarding the Word of God. So the implication of this promise is that you do not have any excuse not to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You do not have any excuse not to do whatever instruction that is before you from the Lord, since the Holy Spirit is ever present to help you. Hence, we say to you, be going with whatever instruction you have received from the Lord, whether it is the general requirement of witnessing for Him or any other specific instruction of responsibility stipulated in the Scripture. So I say then, go and do what the Lord commands you with the assurance of the Lord's help. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God the Holy Spirit will challenge us to know that you have promised to be with us, and you have also promised to enable us to be a witness or to carry out whatever instructions. May we continue to claim that, stand in that faith, that you will do what you said. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.